listening to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to talk to you really briefly about Bodies, which is currently 25% off. It's used as a medicinal herb for thousands of years. Turmeric is one of the most studied ingredients known today. Paired with black pepper, Bodies is turmeric is a turmeric supplement that takes advantage of the power of turmeric with over 95% of its active ingredients. Because turmeric contains some of the most powerful antioxidants, we decided to pair it with other powerful ingredients, including five different herbs and extracts for the ultimate boost for you and your family. With these ingredients, Bodies is a true 360 win that can help you with joint support, mobility support, flexibility support, inflammation support. The powerful ingredients in Bodies are with purpurine and curcuminoids. I'm having difficulty pronouncing those words. Bodies will help you take control of your body and feel the power of turmeric like never before. Again, you can get that at 25% off from the InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we have good people that are on the ground in North Carolina. Steve Slepchevich is one of those. I believe he is joining us right now, if the crew's got him.
Hold on.
Okay, we're just going to take one more moment before Steve joins us. Now, I want to show you something. Apple has actually removed the directions to North Carolina. Now, they'll obviously say this is so that people can stay safe. Again, taking the responsibility for your safety back into the government's hands, into big tech's hands. You can't make a decision as to whether you're capable or not of going to help these people when the government won't. And so in picture three, we can actually see an example, and I've seen multiple of these, where Apple has removed the directions to, say, for example, Chimney Rock. Directions are not available at this time because of current road conditions. We also have a trucker from North Carolina who's given us some very, very interesting information. I think we can play that clip and take us through to break.
The people in North Carolina, you deserve to hear this. I'm a truck driver, all right? I have a 53-foot step deck. I've been trucking for about 2.5 years. I have a YouTube channel. You can verify that on Babyline Hotshot. Usually in a disaster situation, it is payday for truckers. We look for that hurricane. We look for that ice storm. There's generators coming to you. There's stuff coming out of military bases. There is excavators, skid steers, bulldozers, tree trimming equipment, pumps, like water pumps to pump water out of places that have been flooded. There's no loads on the load board coming to you within 125 miles of Asheville. It's called Truck Stop. This is where I find all my loads. Chicago, Illinois, up at the top, within 250 miles of Chicago is where I'm going to pick up. The second is the destination. So it goes origin, destination. Watch. See? Drop-off location. Let's do city. North Carolina. Click it. Boom. All right. These are all $1.40 a mile loads, $1.39. That was posted yesterday. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. These are loads that you wouldn't even, nobody's taking them. They're just on the load board. They've been on there since yesterday. You can see, right? Let's type in a different city. That's from Chicago. Maybe Tennessee, maybe Nashville is closer and they'd send resources from Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee, within 250 miles of Nashville, to Asheville, North Carolina, within 125 miles. Let's see, that's it. That's all the loads. That's all the loads that are 28,000 pounds in length. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, what the hell's going on here? I had brokers call me and tell me, Stu, have you seen any loads going to Asheville or like anywhere around the Carolinas, South Carolina, Georgia? Is there any, like, FEMA loads? There's none.
The-
The Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt is available at thealexjonesstore.com. This exclusive limited edition T-shirt is your chance to stand with Alex Jones and support the ongoing fight for free speech. Featuring the bold red InfoWars logo prominently displayed on the front, this shirt is more than just a piece of apparel. It's a statement of solidarity. Crafted from high-quality materials, the shirt also features the InfoWars.com website and an American flag on the sleeve, symbolizing the fight to keep independent voices on the air. Every purchase of this T-shirt goes directly to ensuring that no matter what obstacles arise, Alex Jones will continue to broadcast the truth. Wearing this shirt means you're part of the mission to protect free speech and keep Alex Jones broadcasting. Get yours now before this limited edition sells out and wear it proudly as a defender of the truth. Visit thealexjonesstore.com right now and get the Save Alex Jones Broadcast limited edition fundraiser T-shirt now. Get yours now.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, great news. We've managed to connect with our guest, Steve Slepcevic. He's been in North Carolina on the ground, first-hand account. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you making the time, given that you are right in the thick of it.
Well, thank you for having me online. And you're one of the few journalists that actually got my last name correctly. So you must have some Slavic connections. She's like, Slepcevic. So thank you for that.
It's the Slavic background. It is true. Guilty as charged, Steve. Well, thank you so much for all the amazing work that you've been doing on the ground. I know that General Mike Flynn shared your efforts. Talk to people about, you know, what you saw at the beginning, what it's looking like now, what people really need to be aware of.
Well, at the very beginning, it was absolute chaos. You know, we stepped into one of the independent airports. This is not good. Hold on, because we got some.
Oh, not sure if we lost connection there. Obviously, the connection in that area is very challenging at the moment. People are depending on the Starlink or the satellite systems. I understand that there are still many, many places that have not had their phone service restored. Some places are saying it'll even take 4 to 5 months before power is restored. Some places even longer. I know Greg Biffle we showed some of what he's been discovering there. He's been flying around, former race car driver, flying around with his helicopter, absolute hero. And there are a number of people who have the ability and resources. And even though authorities are telling them, no, you can't go, they're saying, yeah, we're going. You know, even that gentleman who was threatened to arrest him if he went to get his mate with his helicopter, which just so happened to be his son. And he said, well, you can threaten to arrest me all you want. If you're going to arrest me, fine. I'm going to go and rescue my son. They were trying to get him to stop him from rescuing his son. And so this is, it's just unbelievable to see them stifling these efforts. If the crew could just let me know once we have Steve back on, that would be amazing. And we'll keep going in the meantime. You know, I've been really interested in this new hurricane, Hurricane Martin, that is apparently set to make landfall on Wednesday in Florida. After we talk to Steve, I want to talk to people about this because I've put the question out there. I'm seeing a lot of people saying this doesn't really seem right. It's not really common that we get a storm like this starting in the Gulf of Mexico and then going east. They don't traditionally go this way. I've asked people in the comments, give me more information. A couple of people have said, well, no, it has happened in the past. It's really interesting because, yes, and it's currently reached already Category 4 strength days before it's poised to hit Florida. It's really interesting if we can roll clip 10, actually, for crew. Biden says that we're going to increase the weather events.
Increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and be wary we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis. Nobody intelligent can deny.
Our response is to increase the number and intensity of these extreme weather events, he says. That's the purpose of the government, guys, to increase. So was it a mistake, a Freudian slip? What's going on here, Biden? Why are you telling the American people that your purpose is to increase the intensity and the number of these extreme weather events? It's really, really fascinating. So we'll get back onto Hurricane Martin shortly, but we have Steve connected now. Steve, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to your listeners for their patience, because these are things that are a little difficult. And it's been challenging because I don't really take interviews, you know, during the middle of these storms. It just becomes very difficult. But I also know that it's very important that actually the listeners that are watching your show actually get accurate information that's truth, that is actually truth from the ground, from the first responders that are actually in these zones, observing these situations that are happening.
Absolutely, Steve, you're right. And it is very difficult, especially with a lot of the stuff that's out on social media, to quantify exactly what is going on. I will tell you, I spoke with someone just over the weekend who said now it's drying up, you know, bodies are starting to appear. It's much worse than people understand. But I suppose it also depends on where you are. This person was, you know, all the way up around the Chimney Rock area. So talk to us about what you've seen, you know, from the start till now, what it's looking like, where you've been. Just talk us through the whole thing, Steve.
Yeah, so for us, when we first restaged outside of Tallahassee, we were there 3 days before and meeting with some of the hospital networks, some of the commercial asset owners, some of the critical infrastructure, just getting them shored up. That hurricane took a hard right, went over Perry, and then ripped up towards North Carolina. What we noticed was there was going to be a stalling event of how that hurricane was going to turn, and there was going to be a ton of water being dumped into these mountains. That was going to create a catastrophic flooding event. And that area, the people knew that that was coming. The emergency managers knew that that was going to fold. So when people say that we had no idea, we had no clue, that's not possible. When you look at topography and you run your drills and you run all these different type of scenarios in the disaster planning and the risk management, you know what you're doing. So they should have pushed assets quickly into that area and properly staged. That didn't happen. I can't speak to it as to why that didn't happen or why people didn't respond, but it really left the people of North Carolina completely vulnerable and exposed. So all the stuff that you've seen from the massive amount of flooding, the death that's part of it, just not yesterday, the day before, the local news came out and said that they're going to stop the death count. They're not going to continue until they get a better understanding or a system in place to properly accurately account for it. So that tells you, do they just want to stop counting so people are not paying attention to that? Or are they being now exposed from multiple past disasters of not having accurate counts, which is what we've experienced as first responders on the ground, that the numbers never matched what was actually being reported in the news. Another area that, I mean, for us, when we first stood up one of the first helicopter, the parts for the independent pilots, I reached out to one of the pilots that's one of our pilots out of North Carolina who helped us during Hurricane Florence. And I said, we're going to need a bunch of independent pilots. And he's an amazing, amazing pilot, former Army helicopter instructor, one of the best pilots out there. He put it out on the independent pilot network, and the birds were literally coming in from everywhere into Hickory Airport. And we assisted in the EOC and the operations, the helicopter operations, so people actually knew how to get in or to land, basically marshaling that entire process. And then Sam, one of our former battalion chiefs, John Knox, LA County fire captain, assisted in setting up the org charts, the incident command, and how to actually run a proper EOC. But this was done all by civilians, right? That was, well, I would say 90% civilians and a few others that were part of the management, but kind of wearing a different role in it. And there was, you know, what's beautiful, there was a lot of other people that are in the different branches that actually took time off of their assignment and came in just as civilians to support that operation. But the ground crew, the FOBs, the airports that have opened their doors and allowed us to operate in that space was what made this mission very successful in many, many rescues, and also our paramedics being able to get medicine out to these areas.
Let me just ask you, Steve, because I know that Elon Musk was talking about, you know, some difficulties he was experiencing with the sort of airspace. And then after he raised awareness to this, Pete Buttigieg responded to him and said, you know, if you're having issues, please contact me. And they kind of had a nice little agreement on X in the end. And Elon said he's being helpful. So I'm just wondering, these local airports that are managing to coordinate all of this, are they doing this despite the federal government?
They're doing it despite the federal government. The federal government has stepped in and closed some of the airspace. So some of the airports are, some of the private airports are having a little bit of a challenge as to what's going on. There's one that's pretty much shut down to civilian aircraft. And so that airport got pushed into another airport. And that airport, we were assisting in that airport operations. And then we stepped in from the very beginning, because on one day I shared that we had put out about 500 Starlinks. And so even yesterday, my incident command, and we're now in a private remote location, and it's actually working really well with Samaritan's Purse, Starlink. We call it Operation Starlink. And our helicopter pilots, these independent helicopter pilots, are medics. They're also operating as crew chiefs on these flights. We're moving their technicians all over the entire area, filling in the rest of the gaps that weren't done to really put this entire area on the map, on the grid, because it is important for the American people, especially this time, to see what's going on, to hear what's going on, and not be cut off from population, especially in this very highly contested election year. People need to see what's going on. And one big thing that we really, as a team, took away from this entire operation was seeing how the American people in the North Carolina area and those areas basically took this entire operation on their own, learned and saw firsthand how the government failure is massive, and they don't need a government. What they really need is to tune into their spirit and connect with other like-minded Christians in the area. And it's really a spirit-led mission. It was a completely spirit-led mission.
You know, Steve, I was just reflecting on that this morning, and I thought, it's going to be distasteful if I say this. How do I actually express this in a way that isn't insensitive to what people are going through? And I'm just going to say it as authentically as I possibly can. The silver lining, if you will, that's come out of this whole thing is that more Americans have realized they can't and shouldn't depend on the government. I mean, if you can look at one thing that people can learn from all of this, and it should never be at the cost of people's lives. It should never be at the cost of everything that they own. You know, I don't want to downplay what's going on with people, but if there's any serious lesson that we can take from this past week, it's that the government is dangerous. The government will actively look at ways at harming you, and that people in their local communities need to depend on one another and have their own systems and their own processes becomes more self-sufficient. And so you're saying that is what's happening there.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's a lot of people in the military that are great people, right? So even yesterday we loaded five Chinooks, right? With Samaritan's Purse. And now Samaritan's Purse is the one actually buying the fuel. Right. This is not coming from the government. This is a nonprofit that's based in North Carolina. Actually, in 35 years of working in the disaster space, they're one of the few that I actually recommend, because they actually are in all these disaster zones at Ground Zero with us. And they're there for the duration of it. Most of these NGOs that I see, they're there for the camera shots. They're there for the donations. And in 2 weeks, they're gone. They're gone. Wheels up. Cameras are gone. The donations start to slow down and they're gone. They're not really there. That's just my experience. And yeah, I'm critical, but I'm not naming names. I'm gonna give credit where credit's due. They're one of the great ones. Operation Barbecue, feeding thousands. The gentleman that started was the guy that had wanted to feed people. So he was on a cooker barbecue with a couple of barbecues. And it went from that to being a massive operation. But they're there feeding the first responders, they're there feeding the community, and then they're also feeding the people. So those two organizations have been great. Wow. The satellite phone store, they're always providing comms for all of us on Ground Zero, the radios, the comms, and for us to be able, because when we're dropping these Starlink technicians in these mountains, we drop them off and they're putting them in, and then we come back and we pick them up. They got to be able to grab the radio, so if something's not working, these sat radios, to be able to communicate back. So it's been a huge benefit. And again, just the people of North Carolina, they're some of the most loving, the most kindest Americans you'll ever meet. And that's been an absolute joy.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing how people's character shines through in times of extreme adversity. And the fact that these people are, you know, you're walking away saying this and saying they're so kind and these people are strong. I'm just seeing this amazing resilience coming out of this region despite this devastation. So many Americans gathering around to help these people when the government just won't. You mentioned the satellite phone store as well. Guys, head to InfoWarsPhone.com for these satellite phones. These guys are right there, right now in North Carolina, providing assistance, providing satellite communications. They did the same thing in Lahaina. They saved 14,000 people's lives with their satellite phone communications, and they will not cut off your service. If there's a disaster, they're not going to cut off your service if your bill's due on the day of or the week of the disaster. They're incredibly compassionate. They're out there helping right now. So again, that website is InfoWarsPhone.com. So what happens now, Steve? Because now we're hearing about another hurricane that's coming. People are saying it doesn't really seem normal, the path that it's taking. I mean, I'm sort of new to assessing hurricanes, I suppose. So, you know, I'm depending more on the community to sort of inform me on these issues, but is there also huge preparation coming for Florida? Are people ready? Is it going to be another example of more devastating than was initially thought? What do we do now?
So literally we're on the highway, right? So I left the battalion chief there running ops. I left the helicopter pilot that's also running the air ops, the coordinating all the aircraft. That mission is going to continue at least for the next several weeks, because what's happening is people are cutting through those areas. They're able to move the rescues up there. They're able to move vehicles, so they're able to get there. So the next few weeks, there's going to be a lot of shifts. But me currently and John Knox, he's one of the fire captains, we're actually headed right now to Tampa to meet up with the rest of the Florida team that's already staged out there. Listen, when people get evacuation orders, they need to really listen to the evacuation orders, because you can hide from the wind, but you cannot run from the water. And you don't want to get caught up on a highway taking off late in a situation, because there could be an accident, the roads could be blocked, and now you're stuck in a situation where the storm's coming and you cannot get off the X. So when people get evacuation, get up, get out, go to a place where it's quiet, you can relax with your family for a couple of days, go visit some friends, go on vacation, you know, obviously batten down the hatches. And we're going in there because our focus is on the critical infrastructure, right? The hospitals, the multifamily buildings, the shopping centers, to drop fuel cells just outside the area, the power generation. We have security teams that are going in to set perimeter as soon as that storm passes. So sometimes on some of these buildings, because we're in there a few days before, we set security teams, we put our paramedics, and we lock and load, and we're basically in that hunkered in that building, because once the winds get to 45 mile an hour or greater, that's when the riffraff comes out. And in this economy, it's going to get worse. It's always been bad in most of these hurricanes. You see the lowlifes of the earth coming out, looting, stealing. It's very real. People come back to their businesses, their homes, and they find that their place got all ransacked and all their stuff got stolen. And they're like, oh my God, a hurricane didn't impact me, but I just got looted and there's no law enforcement. There's no EMS services coming. So we provide that resource for our private clients and for the critical infrastructure, because they don't want to be dealing with that. And their facilities, especially the hospitals, have to stay online. So this pre-assessment is to reduce the risk and allow them to get back in business quicker. And then we have our mitigation, which is our water extraction. We have our shrink wrap crews for the roofs. We have our general contractors that are lined up. And then we have all our engineers, mechanical, structural, environmental. We have the drone team that does the 3D drone assessment pre and post the storm. And so it's important for people to get ready. But also, if you are part of a bigger facility, we're a great fit for that. And just doing your pre-storm, your assessment, and seeing what it is that you need. And then in the community, some of the churches, some of the larger campuses are like, hey, who do you have that provides food? Who do you have that can set up the base camp operation, the sanitation? the showers, the cots, the places where I could bring my family, charge my phone, not have to go out of town 3-4 hours. Because right now, people are out of fuel in that fuel. The gas stations are out of fuel in those areas. So that's going to be a problem for people actually trying to evacuate. And this is one of the few times I've seen that happen. So this is a crisis that's unfolding right now.
So that website is SRP24, Steve, am I correct?
Yeah, SRP24.com.
SRP24.com is where you can find out more information about that. Contact Steve and his team. The website says building disaster resilience one community at a time. Steve, I just want to quickly going back to North Carolina. We're being told that it's absolute devastation. The term that I heard someone who was there use was it's a graveyard. And as the flood is subsiding, we're starting to see bodies. We're starting to see just the sheer devastation. And because it's so hard to get in there, it's drying, so the cleanup will be infinitely harder. What do you think is going to happen to some of these communities that are more remote? I'm hearing Asheville will probably recover, but not so much the other places.
Yeah, so throughout this entire mountain range, you know, it's one of the most beautiful places in the country. There's a lot of volunteer fire departments and some actual fire departments that are staffed, but in those communities, they've gotten a lot of food in those areas right now. So people that are bringing food in really need to kind of slow that roll. They're getting overloaded. Check with the distribution center where you're taking it and see if they actually need the stuff. So then people are like, they need a more warm clothes. But what people have to understand is that once that stuff gets logistically moved from the helicopters to that staging location, say at one of the volunteer fire departments in these rural areas where we're making these drops, we're always communicating back to command what they need. Do they need more insulin? Do they need more water? Do they need a fuel for their generators? Do they need generators, which is all the stuff that's been going there. But one thing that people have to understand is that then it needs to be pushed out into those areas, outside those areas. And we've been in communication with the professional racing organization, and they represent 30 or 40 of the top racers in the off-road world, which has been incredible to see these people step in and say, hey, I think we can help. And initially, it's just getting these guys with side-by-sides, and they're like RTR is one of the sponsors. I know Ford's dropping off 4 vehicles actually today. And so this racing team is pushing the stuff out of those areas and getting them into the mountains. But what I can tell you is the people that are really doing the work is the locals. When you see these locals, these mountain people, they're the ones in these meetings that we've had at some of the departments. They're like, hey, we're mountain people. We handle this stuff. We got this stuff handled. They're resilient. And the sad thing about it is you're going to find all types of bodies for a long time. Why? Because some people tried to hike out, maybe broke an ankle, didn't have any form of communication, which a sat phone would have been really smart to try to have before you get out of those areas. But they broke an ankle, they got injured, and they couldn't reach anybody. And so 3-4 days of without water, they're done. And so there's bodies that are going to be recovered just as people start to cross through these different parts of the forest areas. And as the debris starts to get cleaned up from these rivers, from these debris piles, from these different things, there's going to be a lot of bodies that are going to be discovered for a long time coming. And I think that is one of the reasons they may have stopped the body count.
Yeah, because I think you're right, Steve.
A constant trickle.
That's such a good point. And also because it looks really bad on the current administration. That's, you know, there's always a cover up of exactly how far spread the devastation is. There's always a cover up of exactly how little the government is doing. What I'm really encouraged by, Steve, although this is a really, really horrific tragedy, is the fact that communities are coming together and they're becoming stronger and they're realizing less government, more us. And I think that is the approach that everyone needs to take. Again, InfoWarsPhone.com. It's not even a sales pitch. This is a necessity. SRP24.com for more about Steve's services. Steve, thank you so much for joining us and giving us an update today. Again, we really appreciate your time and all of your efforts. God bless.
God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day. And
Hi, I'm Kamala Harris. When I'm elected president, platforms that promote free speech, truth, and resilience to the new world order, like TheAlexJonesStore.com, will be banned. Sites that profit off dangerous truths are a threat to our democracy. Shirts sold at TheAlexJonesStore.com, like the InfoWars limited edition fundraiser t-shirt, will no longer be tolerated. And let's be clear, If you're caught wearing one of these shirts, you will face arrest. Whether it's the Alex Jones for President 2028 shirt or any other merchandise pushing harmful messages of patriotism, family, faith, and freedom, this kind of propaganda has no place in our future. We will create a future where safety, censorship, and tyranny prevail. Don't go to thealexjonesstore.com to purchase products that keep Alex Jones on the air. Don't wear the shirts or support humanity. If you do, you'll be the first in line for my depopulation agenda.
Now, obviously, that is AI satire of Kamala Harris. That's not really her. But if you look at her policies and what she supported and what big tech and the Democrats won and what Hillary Clinton has said.
There are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda.
They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
Whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation.
They indeed do want to put people in jail for their free speech. And the Justice Department that she's controlled by, that's hijacked this country, has been running the whole operation trying to shut down InfoWars. And on November 13th, it goes up for auction. And the Democrats have said they never wanted money from me. They wanted me silenced. That was always their goal.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away. I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate. And over the course of that process, that could get very, very dangerous for Mr. Jones.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
Take him out of this discourse, of this misinformation, of this peddling of lies, and make sure he can't do it again.
They're scared of satire because real satire, powerful satire, takes a truth and then basically presents it to show how absurd it is. So I'm asking all of you for your support to fund the alexjonesstore.com and get these great t-shirts and ball caps. So one way or another, my broadcast continues on regardless of what happens. We may be able to get some patriots to outbid Soros and Media Matters for InfoWars in this operation. But regardless, myself and the crew want to come roaring back. So support our sponsor, the alexjonesstore.com. Get these amazing shirts. That's how you keep us on air. And these shirts are so timely, launching the First Amendment and Second Amendment Defense League, standing up for the right of free speech and self-defense. This shirt and so many other amazing shirts now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com. This is serious. This affects the entire country and the world. They're trying to get through me, as Trump says, to get to you. So please stand with us. I thank you all for your support. Plus, these are amazing shirts at thealexjonesstore.com. Please take action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
As Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, most people know him as Doc Pete Chambers, always says, we are the White Hats. It's us. The communities, the people developing solutions at a local level, the people that are working to get good people elected at a local level who can protect their communities. I am obviously in support of President Donald Trump winning the 2024 election. But I don't think that people should just bank on that one solution. As you can see, the crises are coming in thick and fast. We have a church getting attacked over the weekend. We have a hurricane in North Carolina, another one coming in Florida. And we've seen the government's response to Helene. I can't imagine their response will be any more favorable to Florida, although maybe, maybe considering the backlash of their lack of action and absolute stifling of the people's efforts in North Carolina, perhaps they will actually do something beneficial for Floridians, you know, depending on what happens with this this new hurricane. I think that it is, you know, last year when I was here and I was on with Owen, I said to him, are hurricanes even real? And let me just explain this. I think we're at a point where we should be questioning absolutely everything, especially anything that comes from the government's mouth. And I think that regardless of who wins the 2024 election, and I'm hoping it's going to be President Trump, but regardless, he's not going to be around forever. He certainly said he doesn't plan to run after this term. And you just never know what will happen in the next 4 years. I mean, hopefully he wins and there's a lot of cleanup and there's a lot of good things that change where the government is concerned. But the work doesn't just stop once Trump's elected and after the inauguration. If things go to plan and he wins the election and he's inaugurated and they somehow miraculously don't interfere with that process, the fight doesn't just end there. Trump has an immense amount of work on his shoulders to do, to undo the devastation of the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, to undo the devastation of the past 4 years, to undo the devastation of years and years and years of the poisoning of Americans through corrupt organizations like the Food and Drug Administration, approving, you know, really unsafe levels of poisonous chemicals in foods, poisonous injections, biological weapons masked as vaccines. Obviously, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be very involved in that process of making America healthy again. But this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And so I think it's, and even, you know, the ties that have potentially been formed with foreign hostile governments, as I said, you don't just get 9 surface-to-air missiles casually going over the border. It takes someone to orchestrate that with foreign hostile governments. So potential ties that have been made with foreign hostile governments, treasonous ties. I don't have evidence of that. I'm just saying the potential for it to be a threat to the Trump administration, especially in the early stages. I mean, we are in such immensely dangerous times. This is unprecedented. America is really in a lot of danger at the moment. Now, I'm not saying that because I think all hope is lost. I'm just saying that there needs to be a real focus on communities right now protecting each other, especially for this month in October, especially leading up to the election. And I'm told, you know, again, I'm new to all of this, but my understanding or my thoughts around early voting were that potentially that makes it easier to rig because maybe they somehow, you know, can mess with those numbers. But I'm told that apparently it's a good idea. Early voting's a good idea. Perhaps these places that, you know, Florida, for example, that's expecting this hurricane should make the effort to go and vote early if it's possible. I don't know if it's open to them yet. But, you know, I'm just thinking of solutions ahead of this election that people can preempt for, because you literally have the government of every Western nation waging war against its people. It's not just unique to America. But the reason why it's so dangerous here right now is because you have the potential for that all to change come November and then subsequently January. You have the potential for that for someone who wants to make change, who is against the agenda, who has made statements that are in direct disobeyment, if you will, to the United Nations Agenda 2030, which is the driving force behind so much of this madness. And then by extension, 2045, where they want us to all live in the metaverse, which we will talk about shortly. But I just want to talk about Hurricane Martin. So if we bring up Picture 5 US hurricane pattern, it's no surprise to anyone. Again, that's Picture 5. No surprise to anyone that there are actually patterns for, and if we can zoom into that, crew, that there are patents for manufacturing weather, there are patents for hurricane and tornado control devices, And I found a really interesting video. Now, I have not independently been able to verify every single claim that this gentleman makes in his video, but I think that it is a very interesting consideration. And I'd be interested to hear if people go on to my ex, it's ZEEE_media. I made a post yesterday about the fact that I was hearing that there were some anomalies with Hurricane Martin. And so I'd be interested to hear from you in that post. But I found this video incredibly interesting about Lockheed Martin Orion P3. If you have more information about this, I want to hear from you, but let's go ahead and roll that clip.
I'm not saying that the government created Hurricane Helene. What I am saying is that the government has been manipulating the weather since 1947. What first caught my attention with Helene was the shift in the storm's projected path. One day, it looked like it would hit my town. The next day, it had shifted east. I then noticed an odd flight path of NOAA-42. The aircraft being flown, a Lockheed Martin Orion P-3. This prompted me to look at previous uses for the P-3, where I discovered that they were used in the 1960s to manipulate Hurricane Camille in a, quote, weather war on Cuba. Now, I know this sounds out there, but as we begin to see more and more the terrible things our government has done in the past, is it really so far-fetched? Here are the projections from the 23rd of September. A large spread traveling the Alabama-Georgia line and ending up in Illinois. On the 24th, projections shift slightly east and the storm is projected to finish in Indiana. On the morning of the 25th, the path shifts back west and shows to be finishing in western Kentucky. That evening, a P-3 conducts a six-hour operation inside the developing storm. The next morning, on the 26th, the path shows to have shifted slightly east again, now finishing in northwestern Tennessee. The evening of the 26th, the same P-3 conducts operations throughout Hurricane Helene as it makes landfall, and the storm's actual path shifts further east, finishing in northeastern Tennessee. What would the government's motivations possibly be to modify a storm? That, I don't know. But I do believe that if we can maintain our republic long enough, time will eventually tell.
Very, very interesting. And that on screen right now is my ex post. I said, I'm seeing a lot of people on X discussing that the path of Milton is expected to make landfall in Florida on Wednesday afternoon is not normal. Drop your info below. We need to get to the bottom of this or learn more about this ASAP. So whoever's watching that, get in there and drop your info. I'll cover it this week while I'm here or, you know, on my own live broadcasts on Z Media. So I'm really interested to learn more about this. I am not discounting absolutely any possibility because they do openly discuss the ability to control the weather. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene posted about it. Yes, they can control the weather. They have weather warfare by 2025 documents posted. There's a particular NASA presentation, which is really interesting because it ends up being like a live document. I don't remember what I called my interview on that. Maybe I'll find it over the break and get the crew to bring it up. But there's a living document that actually gets updated and, you know, there are things that are redacted from it. And so it's hard to ever find the sort of, you know, the revisions of this presentation, but it basically talks about weather warfare by 2025, being able to control the weather. And of course it's for, you know, for the sake of being able to wage weather warfare on other nations, but that's actually not what happens. They end up waging weather warfare on their own people. And in this case, it's been on, you know, predominantly Trump voting areas right before an election. Really, really fascinating. Now, someone said on picture six, someone said, no, these are regular. Have a look at these historical hurricane tracks. Many start in the Gulf and spin west to east. It's not as common, but it happens. I lived in Florida for over 15 years. So that's what one person has said to me. I just want to show you all sides of this. And then other people have said to me, I've lived in Florida my whole life. I've never seen a track like this. So a couple of people actually asked Grok. And picture 8 is Grok about the hurricanes starting from the Gulf of Mexico, if we can bring that up. So someone asks Grok, list hurricanes that have formed in western Gulf of Mexico and moved east only. The answer, based on the information available up to October 6, 2024, here are the hurricanes or significant tropical storms that have formed in or significantly intensified in the western Gulf of Mexico and moved eastward. Tropical Storm Milton. This storm formed in the western Gulf of Mexico and was expected to intensify into a major hurricane before potentially making landfall in Florida. Another example from Grok, picture 9. Has a major hurricane ever started in the west of the Gulf and then moved east through Florida? Answer, based on the information available up to October 5, 2024, there isn't a directly documented case of a major hurricane starting in the western Gulf of Mexico and then moving directly east through Florida in historical records or recent forecasts. However, Grok acknowledges meteorological patterns can be complex, and while it's unusual, hurricanes can indeed traverse unusual paths due to various atmospheric conditions. So, of course, that is absolutely acceptable. We know that sometimes the weather does unexpected things, but we also know that the government has weather manipulation techniques. Something else that I was reading that was very, very interesting, pardon, there's a commercial fisherman, on X, and he talks about some of the ship operations. So when people think about weather manipulation, they think, well, harp or spraying. And mind you, Mike Adams actually interviewed someone from North Carolina who provided him with photos of the skies just days before the hurricane, and they were absolutely covered with trails. Chemical trails, stratospheric aerosol injection, solar radiation management, whatever you want to call it, I'm calling it chemtrails. They were absolutely covered in these trails. And so there is, when people think about weather modification, they typically think about these things. But that is not the only form of weather modification. In fact, the people that are in favor of this, you know, a lot of these climate mad scientists who say that we just got to spray the whole earth to fix the earth and remove the carbon out of the atmosphere that actually allows us to live. Really, really amazing scientists these guys are. Dear God. Anyway. So people normally think of that, but they even admit to doing ground operations. And so I know of one particular case in Australia, someone that lives right nearby, a good friend of mine that lives by a farmer, and they actually have a particular device on their farm, and the government pays them every time the government releases something from that particular bit of machinery. It's very covert. He doesn't know what it is. He just knows that he gets paid to allow this to be on his property. And so those types of operations exist, and ship operations exist as well when it comes to weather modification. And so this commercial fisherman, people were dropping his videos into my ex post, that one that we brought up on screen before. Really interesting guys. I encourage everyone to go and check his work out. Can't remember his handle right now, but nonetheless, you'll find it. It's like the top post in the comments there. And he talks about the role of boats in all of this. He talks about he actually did a video just the other day where he was showing how there are currently boats that are en route in that area that are going, you know, 1, 2, sometimes even 0 knots. And he was saying, well, I know what types of ships these are. I shouldn't really call them boats. They are ships, aren't they? I know what types of ships these are. They should be traveling at 12 knots. They certainly have the capacity to. And if you're traveling all this distance, you should be going at 12 knots. So his suspicion is that maybe there are some ships involved as well with manipulating the weather in that region as right now where the storm is forming. It's certainly a possibility. What I'm trying to say is I won't discount any possibility right now. I just find the fact that there is a devastating, potentially already classified Category 4 hurricane coming to Florida right after we've had one in North Carolina. Mayorkas comes and says, it's not over. We don't have funds. But by the way, we're going to have more hurricanes. Biden has that video where he says, we're going to increase the weather events. In fact, we might roll that again. I just don't think that this is all a coincidence, that all of these climate catastrophes happen to befall these typically Trump voting regions right before the election. Can we please play that clip of Biden again, clip 10?
Response is to increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and be wary we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crises. Nobody intelligent can deny.
Is he just blurting out things that he shouldn't? Do you remember when Biden blurted out about the blue roofs? He said that, I think he said something along the lines of, this place should be okay because it has a blue roof. I don't know if the crew has that clip. That was amazing. So Biden just tends to blurt out these things that he really shouldn't say. Is that another example of him doing that? We're just going to keep working on increasing the frequency and the severity of these weather events, guys. But I want to talk to you now, and I'm going to spend the next hour or so talking about this, about the plans beyond these climate catastrophes. I know that, you know, there are many, many crises happening as we speak, and we have an election that's coming up, and we have, you know, a multitude of things to worry about in the United States right now. But it's very important to understand where the agenda is going so that we understand what we need to stand against. And so when I was reporting on this week on Media Blackout, I had a bit of a look at managed retreat, and I had a look at whether this was planned for the North Carolina area. And I had a bit of a look at, you know, whether they've identified any areas thus far for managed retreat. Now, I haven't dug specifically into, you know, they said expressly this area will be a managed retreat, this area won't. But what you'll find is that the term managed retreat is so controversial that the government will rarely ever, if ever, tell you that you are going to be subjected to it. So what is managed retreat? Basically, they tell you that patterns of island change and persistence offer alternate adaptation pathways for atoll nations. Sorry, this is the wrong one. I want to look at this United Nations article right here. Let me get that for you. So United Nations says what can be done to counter sea level rise, and they say that the single most consequential action that can be taken is to slow down global warming by reducing greenhouse gas emissions, the primary driver of climate change. And they say, meanwhile, mitigating and adapting to higher sea levels has taken on new importance. A wide range of solutions, which obviously come at a cost, are available, including building infrastructure such as seawalls and storm surge barriers to protect against flooding and erosion. By the way, you have a number of millionaires and billionaires buying up seafront properties despite, you know, this imminent crisis of rising sea levels, but they keep talking about this. Anyway, they go on to say, you know, mangroves protecting wetlands, coral reefs, so on and so forth. And then they say many countries are also stepping up their disaster risk reduction plans, as well as through UN-supported early warning systems to deal with sea level-related incidents. Now, let's look at this last line. In some cases, communities may also be relocated from vulnerable coastal areas, and it's not just coastal, by the way, as part of adaptation measures, an approach known as managed retreat. In another article, it says managed retreat from climate disasters can reinvent cities so they're better for everyone and avoid more flooding, heat and fires. But don't trust me. Let's listen to the CFR talking about managed retreat, the Council on Foreign Relations.
IMT, not in my term. And we see that it's often those politicians with a much deeper experience in the community and at the tail end of their careers who are willing to take on these long-term risks. So that is a challenge up front. And then, of course, managed retreat has become two dirty words. Communities have fought back vigorously. Here in California, you have a number of examples. Unfortunately, the events are occurring so quickly, and we're going to see storm surge, greater on the East Coast, more intense hurricanes on the West Coast, sea level rise causing erosion, that even if people don't choose to retreat, things are just going to fall into the sea. So if we want to keep building infrastructure to keep homes right next to the sea, we're going to pour a lot of money into places that will wash away. And so that's why it's desirable to think about a plan for how you're going to pull back and make sure that people are safe and that we don't waste money, which is really what's at stake if you think that you can keep the sea at bay on these kinds of coastlines that the United States enjoys.
So a lot of the time they'll focus on seafront properties because that's somehow more palatable for people. I guess they don't, you know, a lot of people are used to not living in seafront properties. They're typically very expensive you know, not that many people in society can afford oceanfront properties. Barack Obama definitely can and doesn't see a problem with rising sea levels. But they will do that because that seems to be more palatable for people. That people believe, oh, okay, well, yeah, rising sea levels, you all of a sudden your house is going to be flooded and, you know, it makes sense that the government would get involved to keep people safe. But that's not the end of managed retreat. And I'm going to prove that to you after the break. And I'm going to show you a real life example of an entire country, an entire island that's been attacked by the United Nations with this agenda that is, in fact, not at risk of any climate change. In fact, no one is, other than government manufactured weather modification and manipulation. There is no such thing as climate change. I made a post the other day and I said, oh, I've changed my mind. Climate change is real, the kind where the government manufactures it. And people are saying to me, oh, I'm so glad you woke up to this. It's like, no, you're not understanding. You know, this isn't a new concept. I'm just explaining for the normies that, yeah, climate change is real because they're causing it. They are causing it through incessant spraying of the skies, incessant ground operations, incessant ship operations. These people are mad scientists who want to destroy our way of life and they want to corral us into smart cities. And that is exactly what managed retreat is about. Now, I don't know. I heard a rumor and I haven't been able to verify it independently, but I heard a rumor that there were apparently talks about these residents of North Carolina being told that they can't return to their homes. The government's going to offer them some sort of a buy-up scheme. Sounds a lot like managed retreat to me. So we'll talk more about that after the break. I'm going to give you a real-life example of an entire nation that this has happened to, where the government is forcing them out of their ancestral homes. And I'm going to talk you through some of the steps that they may take to do that in other places where they cause climate disasters, which, by the way, they will do because they want everyone in smart cities. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Obviously, silver is doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.